Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm so excited that you're here. I wanted to do this medication update because the last time I did an episode on this, I believe that one was entitled Live, Laugh, Lexapro. We had so many hits on it, and I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DMs of people sharing their medication journeys with me, asking questions about it, thanking me for just talking about it. And this often happens. I feel like when I come on social sometimes and I'm like, is anybody going to want to hear this, whatever this is, right? You could sub anything in there. It usually ends up being the thing that like gets the most engagement, which is so funny because I'm like, is anyone going to even want to hear about this? But to my surprise, a lot of people wanted to hear about it. And, you know, I, being in the mental health space, if you will, and feel, I would call myself like a mental health advocate. And, you know, we work with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients at Fine Food Freedom. And I just knowing like loved ones that take these medications, I feel like in my head, so many people take these meds that I just thought like, it's like, it's what I'm exposed to, right? In my head, I'm like, oh, like everyone talks about this and everyone takes this because that's what I'm seeing and that's what I'm engaging with and that's what I see. But the more and more DMs I got, like people were feeling so alone. So my hope is that this episode, I can kind of be like a big sister or a loved one to you where we can just have like a really candid conversation. Please know that this is not me giving medical advice or psych advice. I'm simply stating my lived experience and sharing my story with these medications. And just hoping that I can help continue to break the stigma, make you feel less alone. If you know somebody that is wanting to go on these medications, or if you yourself, like, please feel free to send this episode to someone. And, you know, we, like I said, with all of our clients that we support at Fine Food Freedom, we see this is so common that people are taking these medications. So especially in the eating disorder field and people struggling with disordered eating and all of those and body image and all of those things. I don't have a direct percentage of like, hey, this many clients that we service are on these medications, but I did post on Instagram. If we use Instagram as research, hey, it is kind of like a research population in a sense, where I put up a question or a poll, if you will. And I said, like, how many of you take a prescription medication like this? And it was like solid, like 50-50 split. And it was over 1,000 people that voted. So if we look at, okay, 1,000 people that are a part of our Fine Food and Freedom online community, 50% take this medication, 50% don't, or they don't currently take it. Maybe they did in the past. So it's a really common thing. And I think during the holidays, there's so many triggers. There's so much shit going on. There's so much extra stress. So I figured, why not talk about an update? Because I did share a story the other day on Instagram just saying, hey, you know, I talked about how I was on Lexapro. I'm tapering off that now. I'm switching meds. And I got so many questions of people being like, wait, what? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? And I was like, okay, let's talk about it here and let's dig in deeper. But before we do that, I do want to share with you the Find Food Freedom win of the week. And I figured let's make this win accessible and kind of bring it all together and talk about a win related to today's topic. So I was really fortunate to have someone that wrote in when I put the question box up that was like, okay, I'm going to do a podcast episode on the medication journey, on the switch, on the tapering, on the symptoms. Leave your questions, comments below. And someone had wrote this in. Okay, so the Fine Food Freedom win of the week is, thank you so much for sharing your experience in trialing these medications. So many people write off meds if the first one doesn't work for them. Lexapro worked great for my anxiety, but not my depression. My doctor added in Wellbutrin. The lowest dose worked great for a bit, and then it didn't. Would have loved to be able to increase the dose, but it was contraindicated due to my eating disorder. I just recently weaned off Wellbutrin and trialing another one for depression with Lexapro still for my anxiety. So far, so good. Thanks so much for helping break the psych medication stigma. So I wanted to share this because I got not only that one, but a lot of messages like this. And again, I think, like, silly me, I just didn't realize, like, there is still such a stigma about this. And, like, even though I might not have the stigma, like, doesn't mean it's not still in our society. And so I'm happy to talk about this. I'm happy to bring light to this and make you feel less alone. And so let's get into, you know, what I wanted to talk about today. So let me share where I am in my personal journey. I had, you know, you can always go back and listen to the Live Laugh Lexapro episode and how that all went. And then now I am tapering, or I've tapered from Lexapro. I have started Wellbutrin, and there's a good chance that I might be adding in Zoloft as well. And so many of you ask, like, how did you know that you needed to taper off Lexapro? Like, why did you know you needed a change? And so for Lexapro, you have to really be on that medication for like 4 to 6 weeks, from what I was told, to really get the full effect and to feel how it's going to be working in your body. And so I did that. And I actually saw some really positive things. And you don't feel different. Like, I think anytime, like, you're starting a new medication for anything, it's like that placebo effect of, like, am I going to feel like a different person? Or is this going to make me feel some crazy sort of way? Or you might have symptoms, right? Which I did in the beginning. And again, you can go back to the other episode to hear more about that. But once it starts, you know, being absorbed by your body and you find the dose that's not giving you any like crazy symptoms and your body's kind of used to it, if it's going to work for you, like, you don't really notice a lot. Like, you have to be like, is this helping me? Like, am I better? And that's kind of what was happening. Is I was like, okay, I was only on 5 milligrams of Lexapro, and this was after like 4 weeks. I'm like, oh, I am less on edge. Oh, I am snapping less at my husband. And I even asked him, I was like, am I snapping less? Like, are you noticing that I'm less on edge? And I could absolutely say yes. Like, that was kind of a clear cut thing for me. Is that was a big thing with my anxiety, is I was just like rushing, urgent, snapping at anyone. Unfortunately, my husband would be the one that would get the brunt of that, right? Because we both work remote, we're both at home, we're dealing with the kiddos. So, like, it was just snapping. I'm like a snapping turtle, you could call me. And very on edge. And I noticed with that was really coming down. And I probably had a sweet spot for a few weeks there where that's what I was noticing. Like, if there was any difference, that was it. And then it continued to change. And it changed in a way where I was feeling really down, like really depressive and very unmotivated. And now I kind of was at a point, like this point where I'm like, well, okay, these positive things are happening, right? Like, where I'm feeling less of these things that I was trying to solve for. But now I'm feeling like it was a mix of unmotivated and depressive, but also like very forgetful. Like, I feel like I would walk into a room and just like look around and be like, what am I doing? And that, it just felt kind of like out of body. It was really strange. And so at this point, and I'd shared more about this on the other episode, the Live Laugh Lexapro one a few weeks ago, but I had been originally prescribed this medication through my OBGYN before I was discharged from the hospital when I had my second baby. And they just kind of like wrote the Lexapro script. They didn't really ask me like which med I needed. And again, that's not like an OBGYN's scope necessarily. I was still thankful that they wrote the script. I felt supported. I felt like great about that. But also there was this like weird middle ground where like I wasn't established with a psych, like a psych doctor or an NP or anyone to kind of like help me. So then once I was experiencing these negative symptoms, I was like, what do I do? So I just found myself on Google being like, okay, who do I go to? So I found a psych NP locally who specializes in these medications. Of course, there's doctors as well, but I couldn't get in with the doctor, and the NP was fabulous. And now I'm established with her. So basically I went in and I was like, look, this is what I'm experiencing with Lexapro. I just laid it all out there. She was fabulous. And we did like an hour long consultation where we talked about not only like what I'm experiencing currently, but like previous stressors and traumas and things. And again, I share a lot about that in my first episode on the Live Off Lexapro of like, I took these medications many years ago, but they didn't work. But I was also very disordered then and abusing alcohol and Adderall and all of these things. So we talked about a lot of things. She really listened to me and she listened to my symptoms, and she knows the medications better than anyone. So she was like, okay, based on what you're telling me, with this, you know, not only are you experiencing these anxiety symptoms, but you also have ADHD and you're feeling these really depressive, like down patterns, I think Wellbutrin would be a great option for you because it's not a stimulant. Because to be honest with you, I'm not interested in stimulants. And that doesn't mean that they're not great medications, and they're very, very helpful for so many people. But like I shared in my previous episode, is that I abused Adderall greatly in college, especially when my disordered eating and body dysmorphia was at a high point. So stimulants, you have to be very, very careful, because once you take them, it suppresses your appetite greatly. And that was something I just wanted no part in. Like it also just really changed my personality. Again, I was at such a different point in my life where I was disordered and had all these things going on, but I just didn't even want to go back there. I felt like if I took a stimulant, it would kind of pendulum swing me back there. So that was something I kind of told her, like, hard and no, don't want to deal with that. But I don't know the mechanism or how this works, but I do know that she was talking about how Wellbutrin kind of works as, it's not a stimulant, but it gives you more of like a lift and an up, versus like a Lexapro is going to kind of bring you down a little bit. And so that's what I was experiencing, is that Lexapro was bringing me down, and the Wellbutrin, she was saying, can help bring me up a little bit. So I was like, definitely feeling overwhelmed. I kind of want to like stop right there and say that, because so many DMs I got were like, thank you for talking about this, because it's so disheartening when you have to change a medication. Like, it takes so much courage, and like, it's a huge moment to come on, to just decide that you're going to take a medication. But then to be like, okay, now I'm feeling all of these things, these negative symptoms, and now I have to taper, and now I have to try another one, and who's to say this other one's going to work? And then I might have to add another one in. And it's like, it's overwhelming. And I want to validate you if you're like, whoa, this feels like a lot. And I've had some of you reach out saying like, you've tried 10, you've tried 15, you've tried so many different ones. And so I want to say like, kudos to you. You're doing an amazing job, because at the end of the day, I was looking at it, I'm like, I want to better my mental health. I want to figure out what is going on. I want to figure out how to get the support. And so you kind of have to white knuckle a little bit and just say like, I'm going to get through this, but like, it's going to take some time. And I was wishing and hoping and praying that like Lexapro was going to be like a one and done for me, but I just was not enjoying those symptoms. And so I was like, yes, it was taking the edge off. Yes, it was doing these things, but then it brought me so down where I was like, I wasn't finding interest in anything. Like, I feel like it revved up my depression, and that I just wasn't okay with. So here we are, right? Where it's like, okay, now we have to taper. And I think it's really important that this is where you need to get that professional support from someone like a psych NP or doctor who is specialized in this, because she basically had to write me up like how to taper off the Lexapro and start the Wellbutrin at the same time. And that's something that like, if I didn't have anybody that was specialized in this, like, I wouldn't have known to do that. And I would have been like, okay, I'll just like come off of it. Right. And that's where you can experience some negative symptoms. And it's hard to say because I got a lot of questions of people saying, like, did you experience negative symptoms when you were coming off of the Lexapro and starting the Wellbutrin? And it's really hard to say, because when you're tapering one drug and adding another drug in, some of the symptoms are the same. So like if you're coming off of Lexapro, headaches is one of the big things. And then starting Wellbutrin, headaches was one of the number one symptoms. So did I experience symptoms of headaches? Yes. I don't know if it was related to tapering the Lexapro or adding in the Wellbutrin, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. And I think, again, what I'm really grateful for the, you know, professional support is having somebody that can give you this information as expectations. So she let me know, like, here's what you're going to experience. Don't be scared if like this happens, like this makes sense. Like if you're going to experience some brain fog, if you're going to have some headaches, if you're going to, you know, whatever it is. So that's really where I'm at right now. And with the Wellbutrin, we're doing about 2 to 3 weeks of trying that alone, seeing how I feel. From there, we can, and I started on the lowest dose. From there, we can either continue to increase that dose. And if it brings me two up, and that is not a scientific way of describing it, this is my own words. If it brings me two up, she was saying how Zoloft is a combination with Wellbutrin that she often prescribes, that she sees people do really well on. And I thought it was really interesting that, again, not to take medical advice from Instagram whatsoever, but like I said, hundreds and hundreds of you have shared your own personal experiences with me, which has been so amazing. So thank you for that. But the amount of people that I've seen that have, when they saw that I was taking Wellbutrin, they wrote right back and were like, I'm taking Wellbutrin and Zoloft, and it's been like a miracle combination for me. So I thought that was really interesting. Something else that the nurse NP had also talked about with me is that she said Zoloft was like the number one medication that is usually prescribed for postpartum depression. So I thought it was interesting to me that that one wasn't offered originally. Like Lexapro was given to me over Zoloft, because a lot of you have a lot of new moms and moms that follow and parents that follow our account. And a lot of people have mentioned that to me as well, that they were prescribed Zoloft from the get-go when they were being treated for specifically postpartum depression. So this has been just such an enlightening journey. And like, do I wish this on anybody? No, but I do try to look at every lived experience that I go through and say, like, how can this help me in life and with my professional experience? And I think of like my infertility journey, like when it comes to IVF and all like the frozen embryo transfers and all of that, like I do not wish that on my worst enemy. And I am also forever grateful for that experience, because it helps me tap into the infertility community and support them even more when it comes to relationship with food and body, right? It helps me understand them at such like a deeper level. When I say them, like anybody experiencing infertility, right? And so then I think about the same thing when it comes to these meds. Like I told you, 50% of our online community is taking these medications. I have always been aware of them. I, you know, being a medical professional, we learn about them. We learn how they can, especially in my field, like affect your appetite, right? When it comes to stimulants or whatever it may be. But now having the lived experience of figuring out which medication is correct for me and how it's affected my mood, how it's affected my hunger, how it's affected my appetite, that has been a really humbling experience. And I am very grateful for it, to be able to pair it with my professional experience and better serve our community. Because again, these medications are so common. So any way that I can continue to help people, that's my jam. That's my jam. So, so many of you wrote in, like I said, I have hundreds and hundreds of responses here, but some things I wanted to kind of just call out. I don't want to say it's going to be a rapid fire, but there's definitely things I wanted to highlight on here that I thought were important and that everyone could benefit from. So someone said, seeing a psych NP has changed my life. And I don't know if I can say it's changed my life yet, but I highly recommend it because I felt really lost. I felt like I was flailing, even meeting with my primary care physician. Like, she originally was helping me with the Lexapro after the OBGYN had wrote the script, but she even said, she's like, this is not my specialty. And so, like, finding someone who's specialized, and like, I think about that for my own practice, right? Like, you can go see a dietitian anywhere, but if you're trying to heal your relationship with food and body image, seeing a dietitian who is a bariatric dietitian or someone who specializes in intentional weight loss is not going to benefit you. It's actually going to harm you. And so in my head, I'm like, oh, I just need to see like my doctor, right? My primary care physician. It's like, she can write a script, but she's not specialized in this. And so I'm taking my own advice there, or I've tried to, right, of like finding the specialization of the professional that can support you best. That is what I would suggest. And a lot of you wrote, like, once you started seeing someone specialized that could help you with your medications and your protocols, like, you really saw a lot of positive benefits from that. I can't, like I said, give you medical advice on how to taper, but I can say that while working with a professional, she was able to do that with me. And it's going to look different for everyone, depending on what dose you're on, what medication you're on. I learned so much about the medications, about how they're dosed so differently. Like Lexapro, for example, I was on the lowest dose, which was 5 milligrams, but Wellbutrin, the lowest dose is 150 milligrams. So when she originally wrote the script for 150 milligrams, she saw my eyes like get real big. And I was like, whoa, 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 like, are you sure? And she was like, no, no, no. Like, I don't know why. She's like, I don't know why the scientist chose to do that, but like, that is the lowest dose. Like, you there, that is the baby dose. So again, this all comes back to getting the professional support that you need and guidance that can help you through this. Because these are medications. They are altering your brain chemistry. They are having an effect on your entire body. And it's important that you have someone that can walk you through that. Someone asked a really great question of how did you know what was not normal anxiety versus normal? This is a great question. And this is something I covered more in the other episode. So probably more you can go there. But you know, I'd been going to talk therapy for 4 years now, and starting medications has been something that me and my therapist have been talking about for a very long time. I had been teetering back and forth, but I think about it like this. If the majority of your day is being taken up with your symptoms, for whatever that is for you, because anxiety presents so differently for everybody. But for me, it was like, I was on edge the majority of the day, right? I was snapping the majority of the day. That's not normal. And I do think for me too, like, I've always struggled with anxiety, but when it was just me, it's easier to manage. When you have two children that, especially right now in the season of life we're in, like very, very, very young children that rely on me and their dad to take care of them, there's so much increased anxiety and worry, and then mixed postpartum hormones in with that. And it was just like off the charts. So I just got to a point where I was like, you know what? I need extra support right now. I don't feel like this is manageable in the day-to-day anymore. So that's how I knew it for me. But I think that's going to be different for everyone. And it's everybody's symptoms and experiences are so different. Okay. Someone wrote here, and this is actually really good related to thinking about how we can parlay this into relationship with food and body. When it comes to weight changes, so many of these medications say that they have like an increased risk of gaining weight. And I've gotten asked a lot, like, how are you dealing with that? And I want to be very honest with you. Two things. First thing that comes up for me is I reside in a straight size body and I hold thin privilege. I can walk in the world and exist, and I am treated a certain way by society because I have an air quotes normal body, right? By the fucked up diet culture standards, heavy air quotes on that. So for me, I'm like, I don't even think about weight changes as something that is going to affect me. And that's privilege that I'm like, that I can say that. Those that reside in larger bodies and have an immense amount of oppression and discrimination and bullying and bias done to them every single day simply for existing in their bodies, that makes sense that when you see the word weight changes or increased weight, that's going to trigger you even more. And so for me, I think it was because of the professional, you know, experience that I have and the work that I do. Like if I do gain weight and my mental health also improves, well, then I didn't just gain weight. I gained a better life and a better reality. So to me, I don't think of weight gain as a negative. I think of it as something that's going to improve my life if it's also going to improve my mental health. And please know that it comes with immense privilege to be able to say that, because others that, like I said, reside in a larger body, if they already have discrimination done to them in their head, they're going to be thinking, well, why would I want to gain more weight if my weight is causing me distress or discomfort physically, emotionally, or mentally? And so this is where I think having a professional who is trained in body image and food and all of these things is really, really important when you're walking this journey, so you can talk through some of these things. So yeah, that was a big one for me that I wanted to address. And then also, I've gotten a lot of questions on hunger and how some of these medications have made people really, really hungry, or the opposite if they were on a stimulant specifically. But even with Wellbutrin, I've seen that as well, as people saying that it has decreased their appetite. So these are things that we have to be aware of. And again, working with a registered dietitian who's trained in intuitive eating and body image and making peace with food can help you create structure, not from a place of restriction, not from a place of you have to eat like a militant advice, but because it is so important to know that you need to nourish your body consistently. That's important for your mental health. And so have I noticed, how do I say this? There have definitely been times, I wouldn't say it's like less appetite, but the medications are definitely affecting my, like I've had brain fog or almost like forgetfulness more as I've been switching and tapering and doing this. And so I've had to be very diligent about reminding myself to eat, because I feel like I've been off my game in that sense of like, I'm usually like, hey, I'm hangry if I don't eat every like 3 hours. And I feel like because I've been dealing with some of these other symptoms, that has been difficult to work with. And so even as a registered dietitian, a certified intuitive eating counselor, that doesn't mean I'm not going to struggle with things too, but it's recognizing, okay, these medications are needed right now. So if I'm going to be struggling to remember to eat sometimes, not because it's suppressing my appetite necessarily, but because of how it's making my brain function, okay, well then let's set a calendar reminder. Let's set an alarm in your phone. Let's habit stack. And every time you get up to fill your water bottle or whatever, let's grab a snack and bring it back to your desk so you remember to eat. So these are the little things that I can't stress enough. If you're taking these medications, having professional support, not only from a psych NP, but in my brain, a registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor can be so helpful, because these medications affect your entire body. So why not work with a professional that helps you with your entire body, aka body image and food? So I would love to invite you to get support from our team at Find Food Freedom. And if not our team, we are always happy to refer out if you're looking for a different fit of a different type of provider. But you can click the link in the show notes below. You can also go to Instagram. You can go to TikTok. You can go to anywhere on the interwebs. But the link is bit.ly/FFF insurance. That's bit.ly/FFF insurance. Click the link in the show notes. Go to Instagram, go to TikTok. This link is going to help you check your insurance benefits. We accept health insurance. We are licensed in 20 different states. We have 15 different providers that are incredible that can help you. Whether you're taking these medications or not, the chances are, though, if you're listening to this podcast, you either take these meds or you're thinking about taking the meds, or you're listening because you have a friend or family member or loved one who takes the meds. So I don't think there's such thing as too much support. I think when it comes to our relationship with food and body, it's important to realize that your relationship with your body is the longest relationship that you're going to be in. So why not take care of it and get that support? And when it comes to eating, we have to eat multiple times every single day. And so if you're struggling to get yourself fed, if you're struggling to respect your hunger and fullness cues, if you're finding that you're a very big emotional eater and really driven by emotion to cope and you're not feeling pleasant, these are all signs that our team would be an incredible support system for you. And you may very well have insurance benefits and not know about it. The majority of people that we work with and support one-on-one have benefits and had no idea. So that link I shared earlier, we do the benefit check for you. You just type in your insurance, the state that you're in. It's super, super simple. And if we accept your insurance, you will be able to book with a provider literally right now. Like, it lets you book your appointment. So it couldn't be more simple. We try to make it simple, easy. And we're just so grateful that we can support so many more people because we're taking insurance. So as we wrap today's episode, I always like to think about, like, okay, if people are walking away from this episode, what do I want them to remember? I want you to remember it's okay to take the medications. It's okay if the medications don't work. It's okay if you need to change the medications. It's okay if you need to change the medications again. It's okay if you need to taper. It's okay if you're not functioning at your most optimal brain capacity. The fact that you are reaching out and asking for help, or even thinking about reaching out and asking for help, is amazing. I'm so proud of you. If nobody's told you lately, I am extremely proud of you. And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to need more support. It doesn't mean you're going to be on these medications forever. I shared this in the first episode I did about Lexapro, is that, like, I noticed that it wasn't a stigma of the medication that was holding me back from starting it, but it was the fear of, what if I need to be on these medications forever? How am I going to come off of them? And then I realized that can't be what's stopping me from starting them, is the process of coming off them when I haven't even started it yet. So you're not alone if those are fears of yours, and just know it is okay to ask for help, and it is okay to get more support. And if our Find Food Freedom team can support you at all, please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. Rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, leave a comment and let me know what you liked about this episode, and leave a comment and let me know what you want to hear more of when you rate the podcast in Apple Podcasts, because we always read those ratings and it's helpful to get more of an idea from you, because the more you share with me, the more I can help you. So thank you so much for being here. I hope you have an incredible week, and I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or find.food.freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast.